Welcome back to the second hour of Guitar Tracks. I'm your host, Brian Tarquin. I was very fortunate to sit down with one of my heroes, Eric Johnson, Grammy-winning guitarist. So, of course, I wanted to start from the beginning on how he got started with playing guitar and also how he kindled a relationship with Christopher Cross.
Yeah, well, my dad sang in college. My mom was, but they both loved music a lot, but she didn't really play an instrument. But I started playing piano when I was 5 and took piano lessons for 7 years. When I was 11, I started playing guitar. And I got really into the Ventures, Noki Edwards in particularly. And then I got into the Yardbirds and Rolling Stones and, of course, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers and then B.B. King and, you know, all those guys. It just kind of branched out from there and started just checking out all types of guitar. The first band I was in was called The Id, and I didn't even know what the name meant. So evidently some kind of philosophical thing, but the guys were older than me and we just kind of practiced. We didn't really play. I think we might've played one gig. And then I got in this copy band, top 40 group called The Sounds of Life. And we did fraternity parties and gigs and stuff. But when I really got into doing stuff more original and serious, I joined this group called Mariani. And when I was 15, led by the drummer, Vince Mariani. Vince and I kept playing together over the years and writing together and doing stuff. When I was 19, I joined a group called the Electromagnets, which was a fusion jazz rock group. When I was in the group Mariani, we opened for Deep Purple in San Antonio, and Ritchie Blackmore was sick. They got Christopher Cross to fill in for Ritchie Blackmore because he was a huge Deep Purple fan. He lived in San Antonio, and he knew all their songs, so I was like 15 or 16 and he was maybe 19, and we met at that gig, and he was sitting in playing with Deep Purple. But we've known each other since then. Oh yeah, when Chris first started, he was a real rocker. He had a Flying V and more of a rocker guy.
Man, that's hard to believe, Christopher Cross being a rocker and actually being a huge Deep Purple fan and sitting in for Ritchie Blackmore. That's awesome. Now he explains his relationship with Steve Morris through the years, and he also goes down the list of his gear that he uses live and recording.
Steve Morris, he really was responsible for getting my career kind of started because he talked Guitar Player Magazine into doing an article on me, which was very nice. I owe him a debt of gratitude for getting things rolling. Well, I saw him playing the Dixie Dregs and the Electromagnets were on the road. Every once in a while, we'd cross paths. And I remember going to see the Dixie Dregs and just saying, God, these guys are great. Originally, when I first started playing, I remember looking at it in guitar catalogs and thinking it was really cool and always kind of wanted one. But, nowadays, there's all sorts of different instruments that are super versatile. But at the time, it was one of the more versatile instruments made. Started off with Fender amps, and I had a custom Roland pleated 215 amp, and then I went to a dual Showman, and then I went to a twin reverb. And I used a twin reverb for a long time. And then probably when I was around 16 or so, maybe, I started using a Marshall. And I use a 50-watt Marshall through a 412 and a two rock classic reverb through a 412. And then I use either Bandmaster reverbs or deluxe reverbs for a clean tone. I use a BK Butler tube driver and a Ibanez 808 distortion, fuzz face, TC Electric stereo course.
That's great gear because Eric has always been known for his wonderful tone. Now, back in 1985, I saw him perform Cliffs of Dover live in New York City at the China Club, but it took another literally 5 years for the rest of the world to catch on to that song.
Exactly. I mean, I wrote the song in probably 5 years before that, but it just never got put on a record. Oh, it was probably just at the right time, you know, and there was a guy at Capitol Records named Jeffrey Shane who really loved the song, and he just was relentless about trying to promote it, and he was really just dedicated to trying to make it work. And I think initially it started off, they'd play it right before the news or, you know, in commercial breaks and stuff, and I guess people liked it enough, they just started calling in and saying, what is that tune? And so it kind of took off from there.
That was such a great song, Cliffs of Dover. And it was actually featured in 1985 on one of those little records you got in the magazine for Guitar Player. Now he explains the book of making and Tomorrow Meets Today and how he came up with the songs.
The last of my tour in 2020 got canceled because of COVID. So I came home and I started digging stuff out of the closet. And I found like about 28 pieces of music to work on. And I ended up letting go of a lot of it. And I ended up, you know, cutting 7 new things. Yeah, it was just bits and pieces that I ended up just finishing off. And I ended up with 18 pieces. And I thought, well, this is a double record. Blew a line to decide, well, rather than making it a regular double record, let's release it as 2 separate records at the same time. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's cool. And there's also a third record that's outtakes. There's 7 song extended EP, like outtake record that'll come out this summer as well. 7 of the tunes were brand new. The other ones were stuff I had started years ago, anywhere from 20 years ago to 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Just all sorts of little things that I never finished. This last one, I did a lot of the engineering. A lot of the engineering originally was done by Richard Mullen. Kelly Donnelly did a lot of it. He did this new stuff. A lot of the overdub stuff, since it was during COVID, I did myself. But Kelly was always helping with it, and I produced it. Assistant production was by Kelly Donnelly. Yeah, there's a singer named Ariel. It's A-R-I-E-L-L-E. Kyle Brock and Tommy Taylor and Chris Marsh, Tom Breckline, Roscoe Beck. Those were bass player and drummers. And somebody will just nail the vibe and it's like, that's it. That's great. You don't have to do anything. Or you start extrapolating to them what you want. And after they get it, then they take the ball and run with it and do their own thing. And it ends up being different than what you wanted, but better. Well, Yesterday Meets Today is just the fact that there were older tapes from yesterday, and then I overdubbed on them today. So it's like the stuff from years ago meets today because they were recorded then as well as right now. The Book of Making was a title that my friend Vince came up with, and I just thought it was a nice title. And I just thought it might be cool, even though it was originally going to be a double record, I just thought it'd be cool to call each record something different. The first ones that came out on April 1st were Soundtrack Live and Yesterday Meets Today. And so the next two will be Sitting on Top of the World, Love Will Never Say Goodbye.
It was really a blast speaking with Eric. In fact, he just did a solo for a track on a new album that I'm producing called Brothers in Arms that will be released later this year. Now here's a live version of Cliffs of Dover, the song that earned him a Grammy. Thank you.
Hey, this is Eric Johnson, and you are listening to Guitar Tracks on WFIT, the best in instrumental music.
I love that song Columbia from Eric Johnson's album Bloom in memory of the NASA Columbia disaster. Before that was a new one by Eric Johnson called Maha.